Joy is not some kind of silly happiness. It's inward contentment. It's knowing that you were created for purpose and potential. It's knowing where God has called you to go, what He's called you to do, and how He's called you to finish, and not worrying about the rest of it. Someone say, I received joy this morning. I'm tired of dead Christianity and dried up religion and rules and judgmentalism and legalism and ritualism and nonsense and division. I want the more life, amen. I want the abundant life, amen. I want the much more out of this life God has called me to. I don't want to live beneath my privilege any longer. I believe God is in the much more, and I believe He's in the much more for your church, for this church, and for the church globally across the earth.
You see, there are certain things that will put an instrument out of tune, and that's controlled by the temperature. Heat, hot, and cold cause the strings to either contract or relax. And so they get tense and then they relax. And in that process, where there is great temperature change, then the strings can get out of tune. And that's why when you get too relaxed, you stop thinking about God as much. And God has to send pressure on your life to put your life under tension. Tension is pressure. It is the tension then that gets you back in tune so you could do what Chavis was just doing with that guitar. Because the strings have to be had the right amount of tune. You go to an orchestra, and before you have an orchestral performance, you hear them tuning up. And you hear the cellos and the violins and all of these different instruments. And they're adjusting the amount of tension that's on their strings so that they can all produce the right sound. We've got to all come on that, the power of unity. There's not power in numbers, there's power in unity. And they'll put out one little, and somebody's flat and somebody's sharp, and some people have to come up and other people have to come down, but it is adjusting the right amount of tension. There's a balance. Then God uses the pressure. He uses the pressure in order to fine tune us so that we create a sound of God in the earth that becomes beautiful. And when they hear, He says, by this shall they know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. And when He brings us, nothing says love more than to be able to walk in unity with each other.
Greetings, partners and friends. It's Pastor Ronnie Phillips, lead pastor here at Alba's House, founder of Ronnie Phillips Ministries International. Today is part two of my message, The Gift of Life. One of my dearest friends is going to be sharing his testimony today. It is powerful. I truly believe that every life has potential and purpose. You're going to find that out today. I hope you enjoy this week's broadcast. The lessons from Jesus. Jesus said, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Let me set you free this morning. If you're going to serve God and you're going to walk out your calling in His kingdom, your life as you know it is over. Every day that I live serving God, a piece of who Ronnie used to be dies. If you're going to do this, it's a call to death. It's a call that won't put you on a pedestal or a platform for your own glory. It's a sacrificial life. I don't care if you are blessed and prospered in this life, it's still a sacrificial life. It's a life where you will give up worldly lust and things of this world to follow Jesus and carry your cross. So don't talk to me about how wonderful ministry is. It has its good parts, and serving God has taken me places I could have never have gone in my flesh. But it's a dying daily. How many of you have experienced this? If you're going to do this, if you're going to be a Christian in this culture, you've got to die a little bit every day. to be all that God has called you to be. Lessons from Jesus. He promises that we will be hated for his sake. But those of us that endure until the end will be saved. Those of us that endure until the end will be saved. Lessons from Jesus. This is what it goes on to say. These things in John 15 I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Joy is not some kind of silly happiness. It's inward contentment. It's knowing that you were created for purpose and potential. It's knowing where God has called you to go, what he's called you to do, and how he's called you to finish, and not worrying about the rest of it. Someone say, I received joy this morning. So the lineage of Jesus, we learn that God can do things through imperfect vessels. The lessons from Jesus, we learn to live this life in his kingdom, we've got to die. And the love of Jesus is how we can defeat this problem. It's how we can communicate the gift of life to the ends of the earth. Mother Teresa went on to say in that prayer breakfast that any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use any violence to get what they want. The greatest destroyer of peace and love is abortion. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, God chose to redeem us through the birth of a human being. And somehow in society, we've chosen to devalue the births of human beings. Does anybody have a spiritual problem with that? We're redeemed because of the birth of a human being, but yet we've devalued the births of human beings. We need to repent. We need to change. We need to stand up for righteousness. Jesus called us to love one another. Listen, if you've had an abortion, I love you. More importantly, Jesus loves you. We're not here to beat you up at Abbott's house. We want to get that guilt off of you so you can live free and fully alive. But we have to take this issue out of the political circle, and the church has got to step up and be the church. And if the church will step up and be the church, it will affect the political bantering. We are starting to see this issue turn. We're starting to see things change. We're starting to see, because of science, not the church, this issue begin to shift back towards life. Will you pray that God will change the hearts of our political leaders? We must pray. We must believe that God can do it. We must share our stories. We must speak life's divine purpose into people. We must tell people they are important. We must help people. We must provide resources for people, counseling. That's why I'm thankful Choices is here today. We support them. You support them. But maybe you need counseling today. Maybe you need a fresh touch from God. Every life has potential and promise, but also every life has divine purpose. Before I close this message today, I've asked one of my dearest friends who I met as a teenager to come and share just a small part of his testimony before we close, because I can preach statistics and I can preach scripture, but you need someone you can look at who's been where you may be or who's struggled the way you're struggling. And so many years ago as a teenager, I met a young guy named Adam Connor. He was living over here at Bethel Bible Village, and I didn't know that we would become great friends, but we have, and I'm very proud of him. But his story is not ideal. How he got here is not ideal. But I believe with all of my heart that God had a plan, and that God's divine potential lived in him and was in him from the time he was born. So before we close, would you please welcome Adam Connor to the stage as he shares a little bit of his story with us today.
Well, I want to thank Ronnie for using part of my scripture, so that'll save a little bit of my time that I have this morning. So I just, you know, like Ronnie said, my story isn't ideal, but blessings come from it. You know, the verse that Ronnie used this morning, Psalms 139, verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and intricately put together in the lowest parts of the earth. See, my story began in 1938, about 40 years before I was born. My story began when my grandmother had to have a medical procedure and she was found out that she couldn't have children. She tried and they tried and they tried, her and my grandfather did. And then several years later, early 1970s, they adopted my mother. Adopted her from a family who, she was an accident. She wasn't planned to be from her parents, but I believe she was planned to be from the Lord because he had a purpose. He knew that she was going to be brought into my grandparents' life and that that she was going to receive love from a family that did love her. So my mom was adopted when she was 12 years old, kind of late in life, didn't have a good upbringing, kind of wild, like a lot of teenagers are, but really kind of took it to an extreme. After high school, my mom had an inappropriate relationship with someone that we'll talk about later, and as a result of that, I'm here. During that time, though, there was some shame involved because of the relationship that she had, and the choice was to not have me, for me to be aborted, for me not to be here, and thankfully, had a praying grandmother who was able to convince her that that wasn't the right decision. Apparently, I'm not the only one with a praying mama. So, and I know that those are invaluable. And my mama is the reason that I'm here right now. See, my mom after I was born, my mom got remarried or married. She wasn't remarried. She got married to a man who didn't really care for me because I wasn't his child. This man abused me physically to the point of almost death a couple of times. But God had a plan. God had a plan to keep me alive because he knew that there was something for me in this life. So eventually, at around age 4, my grandparents, my mom and papa, they got custody of me. My mom, she was still doing her thing. She was on drugs and, you know, she eventually got divorced from the man. Later on in life, I mean, there was a point where him and his mother tried to have her to kill me, but she didn't do it because God has a plan. But God, we like to say, so that's he definitely had a plan in my life. So my grandparents got custody of me. I was blessed to be able to grow up in the first house that my papa built. Blessed to every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night go to the church that my papa built. A little Pentecostal church in Athens that held about these first three rows here every Sunday morning if we were lucky. And then later on in life, as my grandmother aged, she got sick, started having some signs of dementia and Alzheimer's. And at that point is when I had moved to Bethel Bible Village. So thankful for that. My mama, she tried and did everything that she could to take care of me, but as a 14-year-old and her being a mid-70-year-old, it was just hard for her to do and too much for her to do at her health. At that time, I came to Bethel and started to learn what a real family was. Thankful for people like Sammy Wilson that was at Bethel then, and the late Bob McFarland who oversaw Bethel and others that at Bethel that were part of that time in my life. During that time, I came to Central Baptist at the time, and I can still take you to the place over in the Hope Building where I got saved during the book, 1995, and that really changed my life. That was a time that I thought I'd been saved, but it didn't take, I guess, when I was younger. So So, you know, and that's what started my relationship with Ronnie and grew into a friendship that will last the test of time. Even at times we were both out in the world and remained close friends. So graduated high school, went to college, got away from church while I was in college, still knowing that every time I drove by here, knew this is where I should be on Sunday mornings. But I wasn't letting, there was a time in my life that I needed to be out there to build my testimony, I feel like. I believe that everything the enemy tries to use for bad, the Lord tries to use for good, or is going to use for good. And that time in my life is one of those times. So eventually, I got engaged. Well, I got engaged, or actually, let me back up a little bit. My mamaw in 2001, she passed away. And I was blessed to be by her side. She took her last breaths, and really was an honor for me to be there with her at that time. During that time, though, in the stages of the planning of the funeral and that sort of thing, I was coming in contact with some of her friends, our neighbors, some people that were around her life when she was younger at the time that I was born. And here's the plot twist. These people, as I was coming in contact with them, they kept telling me how much I looked like Doc. You look so much like Doc. You look so much like Doc. Doc was my papaw. So I was like, okay, whatever. I was busy planning a funeral. But the more people kept saying it, the more I was like, okay, I gotta find out. So I called the man that my mom, when I was 7 or 8 years old, told me was my father. And I asked him, I said, hey, I gotta know. And he's only answered me, the only words he said before he hung up with the phone was, you mean she never told you? So then he hung up and I never talked to him again. That was around 2001 when my mom passed away. I lived with that for 10 years. I didn't want to ask my mom. I didn't want to, because it would be embarrassing for me, for her. But it got to a point where I was engaged, and she wanted to know, and her wanted to know more about my family, about my life. I wanted to know. So the time came, and ironically enough, it was on Father's Day. Was having lunch with my mom, and I asked her. I said, "Is there a possibility that Papaw is my dad?" And she looked across the table from me and said, "Yes." And you know, that was a blessing to me, though. You know, people look at that and they go, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." The few people that I've told that to me, he was the only man that I knew growing up. And while yes, he did have an inappropriate relationship, and I believe it was consensual with my mother, he was the only man that I knew. He was who I knew as a dad. And he passed away when I was 6 with lung cancer, but still, it was a blessing to me to know who it was and that it was him. And, you know, at that time, shortly around that time was when I first started coming back to church after being out for about 12 years, and I was able to know what my identity was. I was able to know that my identity was fulfilled, that I knew who my dad was after growing up my entire life without knowing who he was and being jealous of my brother for knowing who his dad was and not mine. My life, I finally felt like, had some sort of fulfillment in it. Yeah, so I'm here to really tell you guys that anybody that may be dealing with the thought of having an abortion, or anybody that may have had an abortion, yeah, it's not too late. Yeah, it may be too late for that time. It may be too late for that, but it's not too late to get the guilt off of you. It's not too late to have that second chance. And if you're contemplating it now, yeah, I'll tell you, yeah, it's easy. I can say I'm certainly glad my mother didn't have an abortion, because obviously, but also the emotional strain that it puts on you isn't worth it. You know, what your child can turn into, you know, what you can have as a child, isn't worth that time that you have contemplate that abortion and to do that. It's not worth what it does to your body. Now, as many of you know, I've recently moved to Nashville. I've become a songwriter, and as an answer to prayers. And really, this morning while praying with Ronnie, had a vision of becoming a minister to the artists in Nashville that I'm able to come in contact with that may not be able to go to church and that may not be able to attend a church because of who they are and don't want to draw attention away from the word. So that's a vision that was given to me this morning during our prayer time. And I just want to thank you guys for your time. Thank you, Pastor Ronnie, for asking me to come share this morning. I'm glad that the time is right now rather than a year and a half ago. I felt like when Ronnie first asked me a year and a half ago that there was another chapter that needed to be written first. And that chapter's written, and now we're starting a new chapter.
Stretch your hands towards Adam. This is about him, but it's about those of you listening more than you know. I'm so proud of you for your courage today. And I believe with all my heart, God's going to use this to help somebody today, but not just today, from now on. Heavenly Father, I anoint Adam with greatness. Lord, you called him when he was in his mother's womb. You've given him courage and boldness and creativity. Father God, I pray that he would be a minister to everybody he comes in contact with, Lord, that he would continue to take steps towards your grace and your kingdom. Lord, bless him and prosper him. Lord, I'm thankful for the ministry of this house, Abba's house, a place for the fatherless, a place where people can find their purpose in you. Lord, anoint him, give him strength. Lord, I pray that this story would help somebody like it's helped me and so many others. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Give God a shout of victory for a life that was saved. So don't tell me that you can't make the right decision. Don't talk to me about circumstances. Because nobody had more difficult circumstances than Adam's mother. But she decided to give life a chance. She decided to give God's word a chance. Jeremiah would go on to say, "For I know the plans you have for me, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future." God has a plan for you. God has put potential in you. He's put promise in you. Finally, he's put purpose in you. All things work together for the good, Paul would say, to those who are called according to his purpose. Every bad thing you've been through, God will use it for his glory. So Pastor Ronnie, apply that to my life. There are grace for your bad decisions. There is grace for your bad decisions. There is grace for your future. There is grace to move forward this morning. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God's got grace for you. Just receive it. Would you stand on your feet this morning? Would our pastors move into position? I feel like we've seen a picture of what God can mean to a life and why life matters. You need to know that your life matters this morning. Whether you're in sin, whether you're contemplating abortion, whether you've had an abortion, whatever it may be, you're fighting demons, your life matters. God put purpose on the inside of you. He's put potential inside of you. You just have to receive him. How do you do that? You understand that he created you. And you understand that he loves you. And that he's called you to love others. You accept him into your heart. Make him your Lord and Savior. If you need to do that right now, I just want you to pray this prayer with me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just pray this prayer with me. If you don't know Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So whatever you're going through, just give it to Jesus. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer to help you. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Please come into my heart and save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me for your glory. Lord, I reject my emotions. I reject my past. And I receive you, all of you, into my spirit. Revive my soul. Bring me joy. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says, if you'll not confess me in front of men, I'll not confess you in front of my Father. What does that mean? Yes, it means walk down an aisle. Yes, it means make your faith public. But it even goes far beyond that. It's having the courage that Adam had to get up and tell his story so that you could receive freedom today. He didn't have to tell us that. He didn't have to let that go out on the internet or podcast or TV in the future. He got to a place in his walk where he wanted his story to be told so that others might come to know Jesus. We have to get to that place in our lives where we'll be vulnerable and we'll be honest about what God has done in our lives and we'll share it with others. That's confessing your faith before men. Not being ashamed of what God has done. How many of you say, Pastor Ronnie, I've been ashamed. I've been ashamed of my life, my past, my present. You got to let that go today. And we want to lead you in deliverance this morning. What a powerful testimony you just heard by my friend Adam Connor. God's doing a great work in his life. He's writing songs for country music stars in Nashville. We're praying that God's going to bless him. But the purpose of that testimony is to prove to you that it doesn't matter how you came into this world, God has purpose for you. God can use you. We want you to realize that God loves you, that he has a plan for your life, and that he has called you to a divine purpose. So if you've had an abortion, you've made that mistake, just say, Lord, forgive me. Come into my heart and save me. If you have any other sins in your life, you can pray the same prayer and God's grace will cover you. We want you to live free and fully alive here at Abba's House, and we want you to start walking in that today. We'll see you next time.
Fully Alive, the 2019 Fresh Oil New Wine Conference is coming to Abba's House March 3rd through 6th. Host Pastor Ronnie Phillips leads a week of powerful speakers with Jensen Franklin, pastor of Free Chapel, Bishop Dale Bronner from Word of Faith Family Worship Cathedral, Ron Phillips, Pastor Emeritus of Abba's House, and morning sessions with Todd Zeiger, Paulette Phillips, Donnie Brannon, and Jacob Keane. Plus, new this year, afternoon breakout sessions for church leaders. See the complete schedule at fonw.com. Go online to register. Plan to join us in Chattanooga for Fully Alive, March 3rd through 6th at Abba's House. Thanks for joining us today. Come experience a service at Abba's House in person any Sunday morning at 10:30. Pastor Ronnie and our staff would love to meet you and help you live free and fully alive.